Welcome to McQueen's Music and Mayhem. I'm your host, Justine McQueen. Today I have joining me Garrett Brown from the band The Unsung to discuss the music and the impression we experience from the show performed by the band Monarch, followed by an interview with their bass player, Alex Picard. So introductions, this is Garrett.
How's it going, you guys?
You got to go to the show on Thursday to see Monarch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 4th of July, actually.
4th of July, that's right. It was on 4th of July. I don't think I've ever gone to a show on 4th of July before.
That was nuts.
But it was fun.
Dude, it was insane, actually. It was probably the first time where I've gone to a specific thrash metal show and actually had an extremely good time, like not only being there and rocking out, but listening to it and how engaging the whole thing was. That was something I wasn't really used to.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was a very, very positive surprise to actually watch them play. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Alex was, he was just throwing down like a nutcase, and he was really, really fun to watch, as was everybody. And then I like how the singer Matt was wearing a Goku shirt. That was, that was a favorite part of mine.
So what did you think about the vocals from Matt?
His vocals are nuts. They're really, really on point. And, not only were they fantastic live, but I was also listening to, their record I bought from them after the fact. I really got to hone in on some of the notes that he was hitting. I've never heard another singer actually hit notes as high as this guy did.
Yeah.
They were off the charts.
Especially for being a thrash metal band, but they're also kind of like thrash melodic metal. Mm-hmm. And would you agree with that?
I would. It's a, that's a really, really redeeming quality about it too.
Mm-hmm.
It's music for a reason. You have to have melody. And the fact that they have that, and it's not just extreme, like pound your face in with a jackhammer kind of thrash, it has greater substance to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, that set them apart. It was really relieving to actually listen to, you know?
Yeah, because I remember you saying that you're not really one to seek out thrash metal shows.
Yeah, not normally. And in fact, like lately I've been ebbing more towards stuff like jazz and things that get really explorative. And so again, it's like, in spite of all that, I'm still saying that they're a breath of fresh air. That has to mean something.
Definitely. I know you kind of briefly touched on your opinion of Alex's performance. What else could you say about it?
His performance and their overall sound as a band was very good. One thing I also particularly enjoyed was when they were doing the guitar solos and the duets.
Yeah.
Because their lead
both
tones,
Matt and Casey doing a duet on lead guitar, was pretty cool.
Oh yeah. And see, what surprised me the most actually was the fact that above all of the other noise and the noise of the venue as well, like, because the venue always ends up muddling things up unless you have a very special like front of house guy, which this was a lot more like down to earth. The band was more responsible for their own sound, and in spite of all of that, the lead guitars were amazingly clear.
Yeah.
I heard every note of the solos, and their guitar harmonies were perfectly on point.
Yeah.
It was stuff that you would normally only hear in the studio, which shocked me.
Yeah.
I was really, really stoked to hear that. And then I love the drummer. Now, occupational bias, but he kicked total ass.
Yeah, and he does it barefoot.
He does.
I thought that was really awesome to see back there. I'm like, he's not wearing any shoes, so.
That's what brave drummers do.
Brave drummers? I wouldn't be a brave drummer.
the reason why I say that is I kind of have a fear of playing barefoot nowadays, because one of my first shows playing with The Unsung, once I set everything up on the drum rug, I realized my shoes got way sticky.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, why are they so sticky? And the promoter was like, oh yeah, the other night somebody like spilled a bunch of like Gatorade or some kind of sugary drink all over the rug.
Oh my God. No one
cleaned the rug.
Oh my God.
So then I'm like, after we do sound check, I look down at my pedals and there's just all this orange crap that I had to clean off.
Oh my gosh. So
upset. I'm like, I'm really glad this ain't on my feet right now.
Yeah, that happened to me when I went to the Whiskey once.
Oh no.
I don't think they've cleaned that carpet since like 1970.
No, they haven't. They
it's
haven't
like
done
my
that.
My sandals stick to the carpet. It's so disgusting.
Yeah.
But the Whiskey's a fun place to go, though. It's very nostalgic, I guess, you know, like thinking like all the 80s and 90s and bands that have come through there. And speaking of that, Monarch just won the Wacken Open Air Metal Battle for all of the U.S. So they're going to be going to Wacken Open Air on August 1st. They're going to be playing.
They're doing really, really well. I was, I kind of envied them a little bit when I heard that. I was son of a gun.
But you can see why they're like, when I watched them play, I was like, this is why they're going to Wacken.
Yeah.
You can tell that their music is tight. The sound is there. Their stage performance is on point, and they're all animals.
Yeah, no, that is true. Oh, I am a mad respect for them being able to like muscle through. And I mean, how many times can you say that, even knowing guys who have gone and won nationally? Right now, they have this GoFundMe that they set up called the Monarch Vakken Travel Fund, and they just passed their goal of $3,000. They're at $3,200 right now, but they're still trying to raise more because they still have a bunch of like extra travel expenses they have to compensate for, shipping gear overseas and stuff, and it gets super duper pricey. So, you know, I'm going to be helping them out myself and pitching in some cash so that way they can go ahead and do that.
We also have our friend Jen here. She may or may not say anything. It's up to high. So, what was your interaction with Alec apart from Dage?
He was such a cool guy. I wound up meeting him before I got to watch him perform, and that's how I kind of learned about Monarch. And he's a very, very chill dude when he's off stage. It's almost to the point where he looks unassuming and seemingly harmless.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, hey, this guy is super approachable. Then you see him on stage, he's a complete maniac, and he literally looks like a rock god.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And then when you get down to talking to him and you get past the introductory barrier, as with anyone, then he's actually an insane gear nut too. And for a lot of like older school metalheads, they tend to have their tastes fixed towards certain gear that everybody's aware of. You'll see like you've got your PV6505, EVH5150, some crazy like Marshall cabinet or whatever, but he's much more attuned to like a modern gear.
Yeah.
And so he's really into the brand Dark Glass. As even though I'm a drummer, I love guitar and bass stuff and their effects. I'm a big Dark Glass fan.
Yeah.
I think they're one of the best companies for bass. He's all over that. You know, he'll talk to you endlessly about the gear he uses, experimenting with different setups. He's super choosy with his tone and his sound, and he's so deliberate about it too. Like, he's just all there and completely on point with his sound. And so, I mean, in spite of being so laid back and so mild mannered, he is very attentive to his craft, which is something that in my experience I haven't seen with a lot of musicians. And it really helps to meet other people like that, especially because, you know, when they tackle it with that sort of mindset, they're bound to move forward because they give a damn more than everybody else that they're playing alongside.
It's like an element of drive that they have. That's one of the things, like, I noticed about him. We did our interview, is that he's very knowledgeable, and he's very like attuned to like what he chooses, and he knows what he's talking about. I was really impressed that, I mean, honestly, he did most of the talking, so it actually was a really good interview, and I'm really excited to introduce them here shortly. And so you said that you got their record at their last show, and you've been listening to it.
I have.
What do you think about it as a whole, certain songs, a vibe you get from it?
The vibe I get the most, unfortunately, like, I wasn't reading the track list when I was listening, but trying to absorb the sound at first from a holistic perspective.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of in that phase of getting used to the album as a whole, especially because that's my process for listening to music, is album by album rather than song by song.
Yeah.
And so I'm not totally affiliated with the track lists yet. What I do enjoy is the fact that it still has this insane, crazy, chaotic energy like thrash metal is supposed to have, and it really gets you amped.
Yeah.
You know, it does not fail in that front at all. And the vocals, like I said, it was slightly less clear in the live situation to hear exactly how dynamic Matt was vocally.
Yeah.
You know, and that goes that way with every single show. But then I really got to hear it on the album, and I was just stunned. I was like, dude, how the hell are they doing all of this?
Yeah.
It was incredible. They sounded, you know, on part of like the rhythm and how tight the rhythms are, they sounded the same live as they do on the record.
Yeah.
And then melodically, as far as, you know, guitar solos and stuff, again, consistency was right there. They were just as good.
Mm-hmm.
And the vocals really got to shine on the album and, you know, kind of come to the forefront of my listening experience, much like they're supposed to. And it made me realize like how well-rounded and skilled this band actually is.
Yeah, it's not just thrash metal. You can even hear elements of like groove metal in there, and you have like, it's not just hanging to your ears if you're not normally a thrash metal person and you're going into it. Mm-hmm. It's actually, as you would say, palatable for many different people.
You're quoting me with that palatable.
Yeah, the listeners are going to hear it anyways at some point.
Yeah,
awesome. True. So is there anything else that you experience with either with Alex or with Monarch Monarch the band in general that you wanted to share with listeners?
He's a good kisser.
Is he? Oh.
I would have no idea.
Somebody has a man crush.
I'm really, really a big fan for Alex, both as a musician and a person.
Yeah.
You know, for all the reasons that we just talked about, I think out of all of the bands, especially San Diego based bands, because the whole death metal and thrash metal scene is very dominant down here. That's something I've noticed. And out of all that, they're probably the most deserving band to go to Wacken, in my opinion, after listening to them and then checking out their album and knowing what Wacken is. I'm like, I'm going to be really happy to see him there. I keep bugging Alex. I'm like, hey, get as much video stuff as you possibly can.
I know. Yeah. So, he was saying that he was going to get a professional video made. And it's going to be their very first live performance recorded. And it's going to be at Wacken. How amazing is that? Jen's over here giving some horns up.
Yep. She's just chilling.
Yeah. So, well, Garrett, thank you so much for taking the time to talk a little bit about Monarch and your experience with them and their music. And now we're going to introduce Alec from Monarch.
Everybody say, hey, Alex.
Hello. How's it going?
So we're interviewing today because you guys are actually going on a Wacken tour.
Yeah, we're going to Germany. We basically won the Wacken Metal Battle that happened in the United States, and we made it through all the rounds. A couple hundred, I think it was like 100 something bands competing in the United States, and we got to the final round and won. So we're representing the United States of America as the metal band competing in Wacken, Germany, and pretty much works as like an Olympic style competition where 29 other countries will be competing for the ultimate championship at the festival itself. So it's gonna be 30 countries in total. We're one of the countries competing, and it's very exciting.
That sounds amazing. So when you guys won, how was that? What did that feel like?
Really surreal. We went into the mindset basically of we weren't worried about winning or losing or anything like that. We were basically going there just to play. Mm-hmm. Most of the guys were just, we were just happy to play a show and create new fans. I was particularly happy about, you know, getting fans as well, but also networking with other bands and working with promoters and just getting a deeper connection with a lot of the people that are involved. So people come out of state too for the finals in California. And I really wanted to link up with a lot of those bands that came out, because like if we ever go on tour, it would be nice to have a connection with like some of the better bands in America that competed this year. So that's like the big takeaway from doing the metal battle.
Yeah, the networking with the other bands and seeing what else, other opportunities you and other bands have in store.
Yeah, so I mean, you want to network. Like, it's competition, but it's a healthy competition in my mindset. So I want to like link up with the best people around. So I mean, if those people got that far, I want to link up with them. If we ever go on tour on the road, I would want to play in their area or with them, or
yeah,
you know,
that's really awesome.
Yeah, so it's like a metal family still in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that's what it is, though. The metal community is like a family.
Yeah, so like a lot of people go into it with so much high stakes emotion and viewing it as like us versus them kind of situation, which I don't think is the right way to go into it. I'm just happy to play it personally. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we made it this far and won just shows our dedication and our hard work paying off. And not saying the other bands shouldn't have won, it was really hard for all the judges, so I couldn't imagine being a judge, like trying to vote in who's the best, you know. That's just like such the hard part of the job right there. But I mean,
you
they
guys
vote
are just a better fit.
I wouldn't say better fit. I would more say we had our shit together. We did it last year. We came up short. So this year we came back with a vengeance, and we were just like, we're going to, instead of doing 100%, we're going to do 150%. So we put in a lot of work, practice, and we wanted to put on the best show possible, which you should do all the time. But it's like a real motivator being in the metal battle to get your best show out there, and, you know, it motivates you to do better shows in the future too. So
yeah. And what venue did you guys win?
There's multiple rounds. The first one, so there's two preliminary rounds in San Diego, because there's so many bands, they split it up. I know a couple other states do that as well. So we played round two, I believe, and then we won that in San Diego at the Brick by Brick in Southern California, and it's a great venue. After we won the Brick by Brick, the Viper Room was the next one. I think that was a state championship, so both San Diego preliminary round one and two bands went to the Viper Room, and then a couple other competing nearby states or something like that, or if it was all just California, came in and competed there. We won there, and then we had to return again.
Yeah.
Final? I believe so, or if that was a championship. It was either three or four rounds, but regardless, we went back to the Viper Room And that was like the final stage was winning the Viper Room again in Hollywood. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's cool to put on a show in Hollywood like that. Cause you don't really see those like kind of big metal act happening. And, Andrew Benzel of Metal Assault, helped put that on in LA. He's like a really big promoter out there. Yeah. And Eric Dow.
Andrew's really awesome. And Eric's the one that hosts the metal battle, right?
Yeah, Eric Dow took it upon himself to even put up the California chapter and to help out with the whole the nation battle as well in tandem with the Canadian head honcho out there, Asher Media, and all of them put on the Canadian one, and they kind of linked up and got the American one rolling in the past 3 years. So we're just happy that it's even like an opportunity at this point, because it's been going on for like 15 years and America's just been involved in the last three. So the fact that we were involved 2 out of 3 and won the third one this year is like awesome. And then
that's pretty amazing.
And then it's also Vaughan's 30th year anniversary also, so it's like kind of like a cool kind of all linking up together where it's like Wacken 30th year anniversary, the third year that USA had it going on, and we got all the way there, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, shout out to Andrew of Metal Assault and Eric Dow of Hellslot to put on the metal battle. Andrew has a podcast, y'all should listen to it, it's really cool. He has a lot of good music on his podcast, and he's a rad dude.
Yeah, he's based out of LA.
Yeah.
It's killer.
So when did you form the band Monarch?
The band was first formed with me and one other original member, Aaron Chip Miller, which he's no longer in the band, but we formed up in high school, I think it was like sophomore year of high school for me, when we decided like, hey, we want to do a metal band, and we actually went ahead and tried to, you know, put that all together like in the beginning stages. I think that was like late 2006, early 2007, possibly, but like 2007.
So you guys have been a band for over a decade.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's been a long, long road.
And now you're here.
We've had hiatuses like a couple years in between, like, because Aaron split ways. We went through a couple drummers and other members, but it was, you know, it was in the beginning stages and you kind of grow through that. And then we split on good terms.
Yeah.
And then me and Casey Trask, the guitar player, me and him were like the original kind of bass members when everything started rolling for real. And we went on a hiatus and we were looking for members. And what ended up happening is we found Matt Smith through Nihilist show at a local venue. And I pretty much just asked him because we were on hiatus for like two and a half years. And I really wanted to get back in Monarch again. And I asked him, he's like, hey, you're a great front man. He was in Damn Cyan at the time, which is unfortunately no longer around, but it was a great band. And I just wanted him to front our band as well. And I was like, hey, you down to do this? And he was like, yeah, I'm down to try it out. So we got together and wrote our first album and recorded it ourselves. That's Go Forth Slaughter. And you can find that anywhere. So like that's kind of like
Spotify, Apple Music,
everywhere. Anywhere, but I think except Pandora, but pretty much anything that you could think of, like even Deezer and like the more European streaming services and stuff like that.
And do you guys have any music videos out?
Not yet, but we are planning, we're working on our second album right now. We're about halfway through and drop a single, and we're going to drop a our first music video ever.
Oh, awesome.
So that is in the works. We're just working on the album, focusing on the album right now, trying to get that done. So.
And do you guys have a label currently?
Currently have no label. We have a couple people approach us. So that's really cool that people are coming to us, you know, starting to talk to us about possibly making a deal or something. So we're just really I mean, we have time, so we got that lined up, and we're just focusing on getting the album, making a good record first and getting that out, and then we're going to start shopping around and talking to those people and see what they think.
Awesome. And so you shared a little bit about the other members of your band. Why don't you share a little bit about yourself and what your respective instrument is and kind of your role in your band?
Okay. Just before I mention anything about myself, I want to say Casey Trask is one of the greatest guitar players I've ever played with, along with Matt Smith. He's like a musical genius in his own right.
And they're both guitar players.
They're both guitar players. Matt does vocals and guitar. Casey's he was been a shred god since before I even picked up an instrument.
So he plays lead?
Yeah, I would say they both play a pretty hefty amount of leads. I wouldn't say it's one or the other, so.
Yeah.
They both trade off. They're just really great, and they work together really great. And then Adam West on drums, he's been killer, and he's been with us since almost the very beginning. Like a couple of years after we changed out drummers, we found Adam and we started using him as our drummer.
Yeah.
So he's been with us for a while too. And then myself, so I play bass, I guess. I do a lot of the booking and emails and stuff, but we all work together and trying to like book shows and get things done. And but I try to spearhead a lot of that, just get things planned and put in order. And we all work together as a team to try to get stuff done.
Do any of you have any previous schooling or music experience prior to Monarch?
I taught myself how to play really early on, and then it kind of just took off from there. I was like really picked up the guitar and wanted to learn, so I started learning tablature and stuff like that when that was like really big coming out. And then just learned songs I wanted to play, like rock and roll and metal songs. And then when I was in high school, right around when we made the band in 2007, I was in a music class, so started learning how to read, write music, but that's a perishable skill. So like I just stuck with tablature. I mean, I should have, you know, knowing the classical way to do things is great, but it's like the creative way that we started writing music and playing is like we started learning all the technical stuff, like scales and just like Casey's definitely knowledgeable. Matt and Casey are like the most knowledgeable I know of in music. So
did they have any schooling or did they just teach themselves?
As far as I know, Casey taught himself most of everything he knows. He takes like classes here and there just to, like, progress himself.
Yeah,
he was working with like Paul Gilbert had like a program open up for a while, and he like jumped on board with that, where like they literally talk to each other through video. And he sets up personal lessons and stuff, which is cool. So he did that for a while, kind of wanted to collaborate with him or just learn from him. And then as far as I know, Matt had a lot of classical upbringing. I'm not specifically sure, I don't want to speak for him, but it's like I know he played a lot of piano and he knows a lot of music. I know Matt, Casey, and Adam taught at the School of Rock in San Diego, so they definitely teach and they're knowledgeable and so they know their stuff for sure.
Yeah, that's so rad. Is there any current music out that you're digging?
Current music? I'm obsessed with Ginger right now, and I'm excited to see them. They're coming to San Diego. Definitely going. I missed them last time they came. Their band, I just admire them as people. They're really down to earth. They came from, like, from what I've understood is, like, a smaller town, and just really down to earth people from what the interviews and, like, the things that they've done, and they just have such a big sound and a unique sound, and the way they write is just so inspiring to me. And
yeah, her voice is definitely killer.
Yeah, and the band that's been around for a while that also is like super big to me is Primal Fear. I really look up to their style too. It's just super heavy. And one of the local bands I want to shout out is Super Sumus. It's like one of my favorite up and coming metal acts right now, and they're still kind of underground, but they are on Spotify, YouTube, and they're a killer band. It's SupraSumus. I believe that spelling's right.
Yeah.
But SupraSumus.
SupraSumus.
Yeah.
Awesome.
They're an awesome band, so definitely check them out.
We talked about a little bit of the new artists that you like. What about some other ones that influenced you to become a musician?
Really early on, like right when I started transitioning into like true like heavy metal and thrash metal, I was listening to a lot of old school Megadeth. A lot of old school Metallica, Exodus, Testament, Pillars right there, like thrash and metal right there. So that was like a really good start for me. I was just obsessed with all those bands, and yeah, that was a lot. That was a lot of it. So I don't know why I forget this all the time, but obviously Slayer, like Slayer was a huge influence of mine.
I mean, you have a tattoo of Slayer on your arm, so you're always, like, Slayer, what's that?
I always kind of forget, but yeah, Slayer was a huge influence. You can you can kind of hear that in the first record too, because me and Aaron, I used to play guitar when we were writing the songs for the first album before we actually recorded it. So a lot of there was like four songs on the album that was like heavily influenced by Slayer, so you can hear that on the album for sure.
Awesome. And you guys consider yourself to be thrash metal, your genre?
Yeah, it's I would let someone else classify us, but it's like I guess if I would describe ourselves, it would be like a heavy metal thrash underlying vibe with a lot of melodic sounds too. So like I guess like Children of Bodom kind of sound, where it's dark but has a melodies, and then also like a little tiny little like touch of like Arch Enemy, where it's like it's heavy but it has melodies and stuff in it too.
Yeah, writing music with a guitar, like you were playing guitar when you guys were writing music, what is your current songwriting process?
Everyone kind of has their own thing, so like even like our drummer Adam, he plays guitar too and he comes up with riffs sometimes. But
so you just, all contribute, even though like even though you have a respective instrument, like you all can play something and come up with like a riff and then you go from there?
Oh yeah, like
that's awesome.
Yeah, so like we'll all be on our separate time, we're all busy guys, but like if we're ever jamming by ourselves, mm-hmm. or like if it's just like the drummer and just Matt, like Adam and Matt, they might like just throw to, like, really what it comes down to is just jamming. Mm-hmm. Like, you, even if it's by yourself with one other person or just a couple people in the band.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, it's not just one set way where it's like one person's writing everything. It's like Casey will write a riff and then he'll save it on his phone or whatever. And then he'll be like, check out this riff we have. And then we'll build around that.
Yeah.
And then, or one of the songs coming up on the second album, I wrote the whole thing myself on guitar, and then I would, you know, give it to the guys, and then we would build around that and yeah. make it into what we want it to be.
Yeah.
Because everyone brings us something special to the band, so it's like there's not one way to do it. And there's even a time when we all just got together and we're just jamming.
Mm-hmm.
That ended up being a song where we ended up jamming, and we just, like, it literally took us like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the whole song written. Like, that's we just were jamming. It was like, hey, that riff's cool, let's stick with that. What else is cool? And like, kind of just kept going. And that was the fastest we ever written a song, and that would be on the second album as well too.
Yeah,
so one of those songs, so that's kind of cool.
So it's really clear that you guys do more than just have a professional thing going on here. It's like, it's personal, because you guys like legitimately have fun and enjoy being around each other and jamming, and that's how you guys do your process.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we all just love metal music. I mean, we all love playing metal music. It's mm-hmm. it's all our passion. We grew up on rock. We love rock and roll and like all kinds of other stuff too. But we're metal musicians when it comes down to it. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's like, it's a group effort for sure. We all like contribute something to it. So
is there, you play bass. What can you tell me about your instrument? Is there a specific type of bass that you would play for playing metal music, or do you have a certain brand loyalty that you prefer?
I've been really trying hard to get in with Dingwall.
Mm-hmm.
I've been I talked to him, I've emailed back and forth, and it's just a waiting game. So it's like, yeah. I love their basses. Mm-hmm. I know Bobby from Symbolic down here,
mm-hmm.
San Diego. And he's been in with them for a while, and I got to see and feel out some of his basses and hear him on stage, and fell in love with the look, fell in love with the sound, and mm-hmm. then I've been obsessed ever since. Haven't owned one yet, but that's like my end game, is definitely I want to be on the Dingwall list, and that's yeah. like a huge bucket list item for me. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure that you'll get there, especially after Bakken.
I hope so. Be really cool.
Yeah. So when you guys jam, do you guys play any covers, or do you play covers at shows or anything?
We used to play a lot of covers, like, for fun, like, mm-hmm. early on, and then the more we're developing our own music, we're just focusing on that more, mm-hmm. so...
So when you jam, though, like, what covers did you guys used to play?
Children of Bodom covers, mm-hmm. Sometimes we played Slayer, I mean, we did quite a few of them,
mm-hmm.
and then, I mean... We did Metallica, we did Megadeth, stuff like that.
All the ones that inspired you?
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. So we'd play those every once in a while, but we've been so focused on, like, our music and getting our music out there more and more, but, mm-hmm. like, it's always fun to, like, throw out a cover every once in a while, like, at a local show or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pantera.
Yeah,
Slayer.
I think we've definitely thrown down Pantera for sure
before. I know before. Fans really like those ones.
Yeah.
Maybe some, you know, Freebird. Your current projects that are out, you're working on your second album. And that's what you said, you guys are working a lot more on your sound. You hope to get a music video out, and you're going to Bakken. If there was any other music, if there was a musician you could collaborate with, who would it be, and why?
Oh, man, that's hard to speak on for the whole band, but I think everyone would have
You personally.
Me personally?
You personally, yes.
Rex Brown from Pantera.
Yeah?
That would be killer. Yeah. I know he's working on his own record. He's, like, playing guitar on his own record and stuff, so, like, I don't know if he's come out with that. I haven't been paying close enough attention, but Rex Brown from Pantera would be like, that'd be insane to like work on a song with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why would you choose Rex Brown?
Pantera's bad acting ass.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, he's a killer musician too. I looked up to his like play style. He's like just a solid bass player.
Yeah, awesome. So how do you interact and respond with fans? Because being a bass player, it's kind of like a background a little bit, besides, like, you know, you have your front man and your guitar players. So do you have any interaction with fans?
Yeah, on stage, I definitely try to interact mm-hmm. with the, you know, it's the shows for the people they pay to come see you and play a show, and you want to give them the best show possible. So
yeah.
when I'm on stage, I try to do my best and, you know, entertaining and entertainment.
Yeah.
So I love doing that, too. It's like one of the passions about playing music, too. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to stand there and play music. You want to
move
them the full
yeah.
show. And make it worth, you know, people standing there watching you play, you know, you want to make it exciting. But like off stage, I definitely like connecting, talking to fans. I've definitely met people and taking my time to talk to people, because like that's your fan base. That's important. You want to connect with your audience. And that's like a huge part of like getting your band out there too. And like your repertoire as a band. And then also like work in the merch booth and stuff like that. People come up and talk to you and you get to talk about music and just like what they liked about your music. Just connecting in general is just a really good feature about connecting with your audience.
Because they're going to tell people that you guys are an awesome band and their friends are going to come see you and you're going to have a new fan base. And that's really good that you guys network and you connect with your fans on such a personal level.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that's like the old school way. You got to do that to like get anywhere. And it's like if you really want to expand, have a bigger fan base and go that direction with the music and like make something of it where you can progress and people will buy your merch and follow you as like a, you know, that fan that would always be there. So there's a lot
of diehards.
Yeah, the diehards, like, I mean, they're the most important to a band because that's what keeps it going. And then you could invest in making bigger, better records, and that's like a really good solid groundwork for a band.
You probably already answered it, but what do you hope to convey to your fans through your music?
We have like, it's pretty abstract messaging in our music. We just we like to have fun with it. And then we also have like some real messages too. So I mean, when we're conveying our music to the fans, the listeners, we just want them mostly just to have fun. But it's like, it's nothing in particular because then it's subjective to the person listening, so they can just interpret it any way they want. But that's the best part about music. But we just want to appeal to the metal audience, really. So just having fun, headbanging, and having a good time.
So does your lyrical content have any hidden meanings? Or do you have like a reoccurring theme in your lyrics?
I wouldn't say so. Yeah, like every song has its own story.
Yeah.
So it's definitely like its own thing.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. But there are meanings within a lot of those songs, some deeper than others. So some of them are fun, some of them are serious.
And have you ever dealt with performance anxiety?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think everyone has that's been a musician.
Do you still deal with performance anxiety?
I mean, it just depends, really. It's not, like, anything specific. Like, it might just come up one day, and you're just like, damn, like, why am I feeling this way?
How do you feel about Bakken?
We'll see when we
get
there.
I know you're excited and everything, but I was like, I'd be a little nervous. I'd be like, oh, my gosh.
Well, I think there's just a hint of nervousness for anyone. You know, we've played California forever, and then the first out-of-state show we're going to be playing is at Bakken at, like, 7 p.m. for, like, a massive crowd. I've been wanting to do this. So it's like, yeah, there's a little bit of nervousness set in, but it's like...
It's every metal musician's dream.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you kind of have those thoughts where it's like, you want to perform well, you want to give the audience the best show they can get, and we only get 30 minutes of glory on that stage. So it's like, you think about that a little bit, but you shouldn't think about it too much. You should just go out there, do your own thing, like how you always do it, and just be prepared. And
whether it's for 5 or 5,000.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, that could... I really want this to be, hopefully, like a good launching pad to get... more fans, which I know is going to be, we're going to get more fans and stuff.
Definitely.
So if anything, we want to win really bad. So we're working really hard. I know every country competing is going to want the same thing. So it's going to be really competitive in that element. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be a healthy competition in the same fact. Like, we're all going to meet, connect, and talk about metal. And it's going to be a good time.
New friends.
Yeah, hopefully make new friends all around the world. So
besides performing on stage, what is your favorite part about this line of work?
My favorite part about this line of work, I just love playing music, period. I just like, it's been my passion for so long, and I would not be continuing to do this because like, you have to be a crazy person to want to play music.
Yeah, it's
tough because like, it doesn't always pay the bills. I mean, for most people playing music, it doesn't always pay bills. So you have to put a lot of effort into work and home life on, you know, you have to keep a healthy home life to like do that.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of extra effort, but it's a passion of mine. So it's not like a burden or anything like that. It's something I want to do and I pursue doing. And I enjoy it that much. I just love playing on stage in front of fans and seeing people enjoying my music is like the number one thing. It's like, it's cool knowing that I've written or playing something that's been written by our band, and then I see an audience or even just a single person rocking out to that. It's like, we created it and they're enjoying it. That's like the best connection you're gonna make to like another human being.
So you have a lot of pride in what you put out.
Yeah,
it's a lot of quality and pride, definitely. So you kind of like segued into my next question. What advice would you have for someone wanting to follow in your footsteps? Because you were saying it was hard, and like, music, you have to have a balanced, healthy life at home with work and all that goes into being a musician.
Yeah.
Is not always as glamorous as people think it is.
It's a lot of hard work, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But don't let that scare you. If you're like in any genre, really, I mean, just but like if you're trying to be, you know, in a metal band, it's definitely tough. There's no lie about that. But mm-hmm. I just never gave up because it's something that I was so passionate about. So like the number one advice is just never give up. I've been in this, doing this with Monarch specifically for over 10 years, and we're just now starting, you know, to roll out pretty hard. But it's like, that's just in our particular situation, mm-hmm. not to like discourage anyone. It's going to take you 10 years. Not necessarily, but it does take a long time. You have to work hard at it. You have to mm-hmm. connect with your fans and build your fan base, and just, mm-hmm. you got to have a strategy.
There's dues to be paid.
Yeah. There's dues to be paid, but there's also a strategy to do it. Mm-hmm. And like, there's so much information online, like that helps out musicians too. Like mm-hmm. you got to tap into that, and you got to, if you want it that bad, you should, you know, work at it. So just never give up if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, definitely. I always get a lot of different answers when I ask that question to artists. Some of them are like, don't do it. And the other ones are like, work really hard. And so it's always interesting to see what people say and how they respond to that when somebody's like, hey, I really look up to you. This is kind of what I want to do. What would you suggest me doing?
Yeah.
So that's really cool. But it is hard work. And that's something that having that kind of ethic, people should know if they really want to go into it.
It just depends on what you want to take out of it. Like, mm-hmm. if you're trying to make money, good luck.
Yeah.
everyone's trying to make money. And that's the dream, obviously. But it's like, if it's a passion and you just like playing music, you just gotta work hard. And like, even if you're just like, hey, I just want to play locally, it just like depends on who you are and what you want. It's like, if you just want to play locally and play like metal covers or like get a metal band going, see where it goes, like no problem. But
you have to love what you do.
Yeah, you gotta love what you do. Me personally, I'm trying to go as far as I possibly can, and I just don't know where that's gonna take me. But I'm gonna keep pushing and pushing and see what happens.
You have a lot of dedication and drive with that. Played a lot of venues. So Monarch isn't the only band that you're in. So you have been on, you have toured. You've seen a lot of, you've played a lot of places and you've seen a lot of things. What's the craziest thing or most interesting thing a fan has said or done?
So, I'm in multiple bands, Monarch being the main one we're speaking about. I'm also in Cage, which is like a power metal, like a heavy power metal mm-hmm. band in San Diego as well. And then I'm also in the Three Tremors, which involve Harry Conklin from Jag Panzer as a singer, Sean Peck from Cage as well mm-hmm. as a singer, and then Tim Ripper Owens that performed in Judas Priest most popularly, and then Iced Earth. He's in Spirits of Fire, and like he does the Dio cover band. He's in plenty of projects. But touring with Cage, I think the craziest thing, we were in Athens, Greece. It was we were at a show, and after the show it was the craziest fan experience I ever had, and it was like the least expected to be like on this island, like mm-hmm. in Greece or whatever. And all these fans were coming up to us, like it was like a mob of people. We were just hanging out, having fun after the show.
And you play bass for these other bands as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I play bass for all three. And and then this one guy, I think the thing that stands out the most is that this one guy came up, and he was like super excited about the band and the show that we just did. He was like, can you all please sign my forehead?
Oh my gosh.
So we're in the middle of this crowd, and we're all just hanging out, and we're like asking for Sharpies, and like,
oh, four people signed his forehead.
We signed his forehead.
Oh my gosh. So
if you ask, you shall receive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could have been his bum.
Yeah. And then there was a lot of other crazy crap happening in the background at that show too. So
signed his forehead. That's pretty awesome. So what's the weirdest or funniest question you've ever been asked by a fan?
That would be one of them.
That would be sign my forehead. Yeah. Okay. What's the most interesting thing that you would want fans to know about you, or if you could have your fans remember one thing about you, what would it be?
That's a hard one. It's a weird one to answer.
And it could be music related, or it could be personal related, like your offstage life.
Like if I was thinking about in third person, I would hope people would remember me for just like all the hard work I put into my bands and my music, and mm-hmm. especially Monarch, the one I've really been working on hard on. So I just hope that gets appreciated on a larger scale, like for a larger audience.
Mm-hmm.
Did a weird thing about me. I don't know. I've worked tons of jobs. So yeah. Like my resume is like a laundry list of things. Like I know how to do.
I think
so
as
many
a musician,
things.
You kind of. I think all musicians kind of have that laundry list. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I've learned like all my life skills. Yeah. Like supporting my band.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of funny.
Oh, the joys of being a musician.
Yeah.
So we talked about you personally, about the craziest thing you've experienced, you've had. with fans at shows. What about Monarch? What's the craziest experience you as a band have had together, in your opinion?
As Monarch, crazy experience.
Whether it's on or off stage.
We've had some crazy parties.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we've
What's
had some.
What's that like?
Anything you can imagine, just wild debauchery. We've had some crazy stuff. Adam had it where we would practice, and that place would get pretty wild sometimes.
Yeah.
I think the coolest event we ever played, it was called the GKC Fest, and it was a private event put on by a fellow called Trevor Jacob, and he was one of the Olympian snowboarders for the Russian Olympics when that went on.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah, so, and he does tons, he does, like, all the extreme sports. He skateboards, BMXs, he does snowmobiles, like, anything you can think of. This guy skydives and stuff, so. He links up with, like, a lot of, like, the Red Bull people and the Nitro Circus and... hung out with Steve-O from Jackass, came out. So there's a lot of connections there. And we got invited to play private event because it is events, like 2-3 day events. And it was on his property at the time, which isn't happening anymore.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy too. Like a lot of crazy crap went down. Like some guy had a, like we were playing that event, which is awesome. That was like the wildest thing that Monarch, I would say, did for sure. Because the things surrounding the event. So like this one guy was like, you know, got on the mic for something and we're like, what's gonna happen now, you know? And this guy's like, so my lady, I don't know if he was married or if it was a girlfriend, he's like, yeah, so I caught my lady cheating on me.
Oh my gosh. On the microphone?
Yeah he's like, I caught my lady cheating on me, hijacked the car we got together, and we're gonna fuck this car up.
Oh my gosh.
We look over and there's like this Mercedes-Benz.
Oh my gosh.
And he was like, do whatever you want. And then everyone just destroyed this car.
Oh my gosh.
Smashed the windows, spray painted it. We're riding over it with dirt bikes.
Wow, that's pretty savage.
And there's a guy called Scummy Diener. And he's kind of like known for doing wild and crazy things. And
so this guy just said, put it in the fuck it bucket and said, you know.
And then next thing you know, I don't know if it was him or not, but Scummy Diener was on top of the car and there's fuel all over the car.
Oh my gosh, and they lit it on fire.
They lit the car on fire.
Oh my gosh.
And then I think a bunch of people flipped it over at the end and like it was just, this car was freaking on fire and just like, dude, it was like rock and roll metal mayhem. And it was super badass.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that would definitely, I think that like tops every band experience I've ever heard.
That event was definitely a badass.
Yeah. Would you say that would be your favorite venue that you've played so far? Just because of the event surrounding
it? I guess I would have to say I mean, when we did our CD release party at Pierview Pub in Oceanside, California, that was a wild, like, we almost packed that capacity and like people were going nuts all night long, so that was super rad too. As far as like being intimate with like an actual show, a venue setting, that was killer. And but as far as like the coolest thing we ever did, I think it was GKC Fest for sure.
Okay. And do you have a venue wish list besides Vakken? What would be on your venue wish list that you want to play?
Venue wish list, Vakken being like number one, like no doubt. There's no particular venues, like it would just be rad to have to play with a good lineup, like at any like decent venue.
Yeah,
I mean, there's plenty of like great venues out there.
With that crazy band experience, which one of you guys is actually the band joker? Because I mean, the other guys kind of seem a little on the quiet side.
They're reserved to themselves. They're like private guys, so
yeah.
But like,
you guys,
I think we're all jokers.
Yeah
when we're all together, we're all joking each other out.
Well, the band experience, did you guys participate in the car trashing?
I wanted to, but I just stood by and watched. Dude, there was like shoulder to shoulder people taking bats to the windshield and stuff.
Oh my
gosh,
that's crazy. I'm still completely like in awe about that experience.
Yeah, there was crazy crap going on, so I just like observed from the sidelines. That was good enough for me.
Yeah, interesting question. If you could have a vial of sweat from any musician, who would it be and what would it taste like?
Fucking weird.
I know, it's weird. But
a vial? Like, why does it have to be a vial?
Because there's sweat in this, like, little... I know, it's a little weird.
It's a little psycho.
They're my questions.
Okay.
But if you had a vial of sweat and they could be dead or alive, obviously they're not sweating after they're dead, but if you could have it, who would it be and what would it taste like?
Vial of sweat from a person.
A musician, not a musician. Yeah,
okay.
Or artist.
I hope this person never hears this. Do I have to answer this?
Yes, you do, of course.
That's just such a weird question to answer. I guess it would be Tatiana from Ginger.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You're like the second person, actually the sixth person, because an entire band said Tatiana from Ginger.
Yeah, if I had to. I just admire her work a lot. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know why I would She's have a bottle of hear sweat. It.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that have wanted hers.
I don't particularly want this vial of sweat. She forced me to say it, so.
And what would it taste like, though?
Oh, my God. That is so weird. I have no idea. Probably tastes like heavy fucking metal, because that's what she does. She's a badass. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, don't worry. You're not the only person that's said Tatiana.
Okay.
This is something we all definitely really need to know. Who would win a fight between Spider-Man and Batman?
Well, our drummer... his name is literally Adam West, so we would all have to say Batman for sure, and I would say the whole band would say the same.
High five. I say Batman too. Yeah.
Batman's badass, so.
So if you could describe your bandmates in one word, how would you describe them? Like, if you go around and, like, say, like...
Like, just who they are as people, or...
How would you describe them in one word?
One word. Okay.
Each one of them.
What's the word? That's a hard one. I'm trying to find the words now. Matt's would be composer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a composer. He just knows how to do that. Casey would be driven.
Mm-hmm.
Adam would be perseverance.
And how would they... What would be the one word that they would use to describe you think?
They would just say captain, probably.
Captain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is my nickname.
And why is that your nickname?
That was derived from Cage originally, mm-hmm. and my last name's Picard, mm-hmm. so they got the reference from Captain Picard from Star Trek.
Yeah.
So that just ended up being my nickname, being the nerd nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of nerdy.
Yeah.
That's all right. Are you a Trekkie? A little bit?
I know a lot of people are going to be disappointed, but I do not watch Trek that much.
Oh, really? Yeah. Are you, like, more a Star Wars fan?
I love Star Wars and Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings. I'm into a ton of that stuff. But I do watch Star Trek every now and then, but it's like I just haven't had time to fully invest in it.
Yeah.
And that was,
it's the a name different was kind just, of sci-fi.
The name was given to me, so anyone upset at me, just don't be bad.
Yeah. You're like, I'm not really a Trekkie. It's just... It is what it is.
Yeah, I was given the name, so.
Yeah. How do you feel about 90s music?
90s music is sick.
Yeah.
I mean, Pantera was in the 90s, too, so.
How about 90s, like,
Cage was in the 90s.
Pop music.
I mean, I like everything, really. Just because I'm a metalhead doesn't make me an elitist, so it's like I listen to a lot of all kinds of music. So.
What's your favorite 90s jam? Non-metal.
Non-metal. I like Rooster.
Yeah?
Yeah, that song's killer.
And what are you currently watching on Netflix?
I was watching Black Spot. French foreign television series has two seasons out, excuse me. And I just fell in love with that. I just fell in love with, like, foreign series in general lately. So I've been watching Dark, which is a German foreign television series, which was, like, a time-traveling timeline, which was crazy. And then Black Spot, which is, like, a good mix of, like, thriller, horror, and... like supernatural almost, but they keep it really grounded and real, so
it's kind of vague.
It keeps, like, it's not like outlandish where it's like, oh, I can't believe it's like, it's kind of like keeps you locked in, so those shows are really locked to me, and I hope Black Spot is a season 3.
I'm pretty sure it will. So, like, that was a great description that you did for Black Spot, because I've watched a few of the episodes and it's kind of scary a little bit, you know, there's the suspense in it.
Yeah,
like,
it's definitely suspenseful, suspense thriller
crosses
mostly
over into that little bit of horror.
Yeah,
and it's kind of vague,
but it's not too crazy where it's like,
but
it mixes in a little bit of, like, I don't think magic's the right word, but like supernatural.
Yeah,
it's
definitely
like, it's
supernatural.
Like something you don't, like a force that you don't know to reckon with. I don't want to ruin it for anybody.
That's what I mean by vague, though, like, because you're like, I don't really know what it is.
Yeah.
So, and they keep that kind of suspense going, but you're like, something is happening here.
I honestly, like, fell in love with that. I think that's like the perfect thriller suspense TV show out there right now.
Yeah.
So I love watching it.
So everybody check it out. Netflix, The Dark Spot.
It was a Black Spot. Yeah.
Black Spot, yeah. So, what are rehearsals generally like with you guys?
Late.
Late.
We all work a lot, so the only time we can get together is 9, 10 p.m. at night.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have a spot at our drummer's pad, so we're lucky enough to have our own little jam space that we all meet up, and we're all local with each other, so we all meet up and jam late.
Yeah, and how often do you guys practice?
We try to do it, like, once a week, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
Getting ready for the Vakken thing in this album, we were practicing a lot, so, you know, you just gotta put in that work and practice as much as you can get together.
Yeah. What is the date that you project that you'll be able to release your second album?
No date specifically, but I'm gonna say for sure in the window of early the first quarter of 2020.
Okay.
So that's the target window, and then we're gonna kind of narrow that down as the material gets more locked down.
Mm-hmm. So crazy, 2020.
Yeah.
I get to live in the 20s again.
Yep.
Side note, Justine likes the 20s.
Living in the 20s.
Yeah. So that's going to be really exciting. So guys, keep a lookout for their second album next year, early next year. So if you didn't have a music career, what would you be doing right now?
Be nerding out.
Nerding out?
Yeah, probably doing hobbies. Hobbies? Yeah. I got into airsofting for a little bit.
No, I mean, like, if music wasn't your job, what would you choose to pursue?
Like as a job career?
Yeah.
I would eventually want to open up my own venue / bar. That's what I would want to do. And then, that was like a big like dream that I'm still even
and
considering
host other
now.
Bands and stuff.
Yeah, like I would want to make like a good venue in North County that would bring bigger bands through.
Yeah.
Yeah, in North County,
like
San Diego.
Brick by brick, but in North County.
Yeah, because like it's a big county for sure. There's a lot of people here, so it gets split up into four different counties, I think. So yeah,
that's awesome. And if we hooked up your Spotify to a speaker, what would be playing right now?
I think I was just listening to Led Zeppelin, and then I have Ginger on there, Primal Fear, Wasp.
You're a big Wasp fan, aren't you?
I'm a huge Wasp fan.
For those of you who don't know and haven't seen him yet, his hair is a very big indicator of his Wasp fandom.
Yeah.
And
hugely influenced by Blackie Lawless. He's a badass bass player.
Yeah.
The funny story about him too is that he didn't even want to be a bass player. He wanted to he was a guitar player in the beginning and always wanted to be, but he found two guitar players that are badass and couldn't find a bass player, so he ended up taking over the bass player position. Yeah.
I think it's a pretty rad position.
Yeah. I think he killed it.
Yeah.
So
you already touched a little bit on hobbies. So what do you like to do outside of music that contributes to your creativity, and whether inspiring you for music or just recharging you so you can go back out and start doing more music?
I've been trying to work at the Brick by Brick more often.
What do you do there?
It's been really hard. The Brick by Brick is like, I would say, the premier metal, rock and roll, black metal, like anything heavy venue in San Diego.
And what do you do there?
And I'd help out with like sound and I think one or two days so far, but it's like I've been in the industry before, but like just being in the industry in general, just seeing other bands and being a part of the show, like, you know, doing everything behind the scenes that the fans don't really think about being at a show, like all the technical stuff that makes it happen. So I did lights
sound,
for one of the shows, and that was fun. And that's, I mean, I can hear other people play, and that just makes me want to play. So hearing like really, really good metal music just inspires me to play more. So.
And what is something outside of music that helps recharge you so you can go back out there and do your thing? Like, do you like gardening?
Oh.
Do you like
I have
video
had
games?
A garden before. I made my own food and stuff before. But, yeah, you got to have your downtime, too. So it's, like, not all work, work, work all the time.
Yeah.
And music is fun, but it's, like, sometimes you need to take a step back.
Yeah.
And have a breather. And for me, I guess that would be, you know, video games is a good escape. For me, just having alone time and playing video games with some buddies online is it's a really good way to, you know,
reset yourself.
Yeah, reset and like hit the brakes a little bit. Because that, like, if you're always trying to be creative, you're going to burn yourself out. So you always have to take a step back. And
I know my brain would hurt.
Yeah.
It would just be like, I can't do this anymore. Pass out.
Yeah. So that's like one of the things I'd like to do is just play video games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how can fans get access to your music currently? And do you have a website?
We're on almost every service I can think of. We're on Spotify, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, we're on CD Baby, we're on YouTube, and then our platforms that we mostly use are Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
And Instagram would be Monarch666,
okay.
And then our Facebook would be facebook.com/monarchthrash as one word.
Awesome.
So that's how you can get connected with us, find our other links. We're also on Reverb Nation and... there's a few I might be missing, but yeah, that's a lot of them right there, and a lot of streaming services, yeah.
And obviously people can go to your shows, so keep a lookout for that.
Yeah, so we're definitely trying to branch out of California, but for the most part we've been really hitting the California, San Diego market hard, so we're getting ready to branch out after the second album. It's going to be more of like our launching pad to get more out there.
Yeah.
So
is there anything you'd like to say, or if you had one message to give to your fans and soon-to-be fans, what would it be?
My main message would just be a thank you. If you are a fan, thank you for being a fan. And, like, we have tons of, like, hardcore fans at this point, which is awesome. And if you want to become a fan, just listen to our stuff. If you love us, hit us up, talk to us. We want to talk to our fan base. So definitely reach out, talk to us, tell us what you like, leave comments or whatever. We're just, we love hearing from the fans and then love seeing them posting our gear or them wearing our stuff. That's always like encouraging and stuff that keeps us going.
Your fan base, definitely.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you guys wouldn't be you if you didn't have your fans.
Yeah. They're the only people that keep us going.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So I like to end the podcast with two songs that an artist or band chooses.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the two songs that you would like to play after we're done talking here?
So I would like to play one of our songs off of our first album, Go For Slaughter. Its title track is Bloody Assault.
And tell me a little bit about that song.
That song was just written just about basically a bloody battle.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just the premise of the whole song. So it's like everything you find within the lyrics right there is just mm-hmm. about a bloody battle.
Was there any inspiration for the song? Like you guys were watching a movie and you're like, oh, we can write a song about this battle scene.
Not in particular.
Game of Thrones?
No. I mean, that is crazy. But that was around when we were writing that song. So we just were thinking up just... ideas for like a sick metal song,
mm-hmm.
and so we were like, hey, you know, it would be badass, it's just a bloody battle.
Yeah.
And so, and
well, the name in itself is pretty metal.
Yeah.
Bloody Assault.
Yeah.
My gosh.
So and a funny fact about that recording is we did that recording ourselves, and at one point during the bridge break in the song, we all had swords and props to make it sound like we're in battle.
Oh, really?
And we were all screaming and like hitting each other's swords and stuff together. Yeah.
That's really cool.
So that's buried in the audio there if you listen closely.
Yeah.
Enough.
Well, yeah, definitely. I'm going to have to listen to your guys' album again and listen to that song and wait for it.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to play it here, so you guys are going to be able to listen a little bit more closely for their little studio battle scene.
Yeah.
And your second song would be...
One of the bands that I really want to shed more light on is a local band. I have friends in that band from San Diego as well,
mm-hmm.
called Super Sumis.
Okay.
And that would be the title track off their EP, which is available on Spotify and YouTube, and that would be Super Sumis.
Okay, and we're going to play that song, and how do you know those guys?
I know those guys through the local scene, and yeah. The drummer, Sean Elg, he drums for Cage
mm-hmm.
and for the Three Tremors, and me and Casey and all of us are friends. So he went on a hiatus with his band Nihilist for a little bit, and that's like a big band down here, Nihilist. And then he formed this band with a couple other guys that now we're all friends with each other, that's called Super Sumis.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be called something else, but that's like their revamped name.
Mm-hmm.
And
what kind of music are they though? Like what genre would you classify them as?
Man, they're just my favorite thing about them is that they have a unique sound. So like that's so hard to find in a metal band, and that's what like drew me in so fast with them, is that they have a unique sound. Definitely metal, definitely thrashy, and has a lot of elements of like kind of like I would say thrash rock almost,
yeah.
but it's more metal than it is rock.
Yeah.
But you can hear that kind of element in there.
Thank you for meeting with me and doing this interview, and good luck at Vakken. McQueen's Music and Mayhem fans, here's Monarch, Bloody Assault, and Super Sumis.